You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, June 8th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you here. It's a beautiful, sunny summer day here in Portland. I know it's not officially summer yet, but we'll take all the summer we can get because it's temperatures in the 90s today in Portland. Spent the day yesterday putting together my garden. Not my marijuana garden, that's coming later. It's not legal till July 1st here. But did plant some peppers, a chocolate habanero plant that I'm looking forward to, as well as, what else we get in there? Jalapeno peppers and cayenne. So we got some peppers, we got some tomatoes, we got some onions. I like to call it my salsa garden. So you can check the photos by following me at Radical Russ on Twitter and on Facebook. I posted a couple of photos this weekend of the new little garden. My first time visiting a nursery. It was kind of interesting shopping for plants that weren't cannabis. So who knows, man? I'm getting my hands dirty, getting my hands in the dirt and learning how to garden. This could be an interesting learning experience for me. Coming up on today's show, we've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine joining us for our cannabis Q&A, so make sure you get your questions ready. You can call in live at 844-207-2346. That's 84-420-RADIO. Or you can just get into our chat room. If you go to 420radio.org and scroll down a bit, there's a button there that says live chat. Click that, a pop-up window will appear. So got to have your pop-up blocker turned off to get into the chat. You can sign in with Facebook or create an account on Ustream to use that chat room, and we'll take live questions from there as well for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of America's leading researchers on marijuana, cannabis science, history, and health. Also coming up on the show today in Behind the Headlines, kind of a watershed moment, and pardon the use of that term for drought stricken California, but California's Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom visited Humboldt County and visited town halls there amongst the marijuana growers who supply what's estimated to be 60% of America's domestic marijuana, and they were stunned to have him there. We'll tell you all about that and Behind the Headlines. In drug war data mining, we're going to talk about that reprehensible governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, who doubled down this Sunday on Not Meet the Press, Face the Nation, I believe it was, saying that he would undo marijuana legalization in the United States. He would prosecute in Colorado and Washington and presumably Oregon and Alaska as well. Mr. Christie, you're entitled to your own opinion about marijuana, but you're not entitled to your own facts. We'll take the drug war data mines into the polls, Gallup and Pew among them, to show why one of Christie's main contentions is complete horse feathers, as my grandpa would say. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant. We're going to be talking about the case of Shona Banda out there in Garden City, Kansas. A little rant I like to call, get the fuck out of Dodge. That's dedicated from Public Enemy, of course, Apocalypse 91, The Enemy Strikes Black. But Shona Banda is facing felony charges now in Kansas as the prosecutors there try to make an example out of this mom who uses medical marijuana and taught her son to be honest. That's really what she's facing charges over. We'll get to that. Plus, we've got the 420 radio news, all sorts of great headlines in the cannabis community across this country, plus some celebrity news as well. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Russ Melville Show on 420radio.org.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. the Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Funky Roller Room.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Come join the fun at the CannaCon Expo, the nation's largest cannabis marketplace for products, services, and ideas. CannaCon is where the cannabis industry does business. CannaCon is coming to the Colorado Convention Center in downtown Denver, kicking off Thursday, June 11th through Saturday, June 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org. That's CannaCon, CannaCon.org. If you're looking for the best deals on growing gear and the most innovative products in the market, don't miss CannaCon. CannaCon will provide you with the opportunity to meet and do business directly and most affordably with the grow gurus and suppliers. CannaCon seminars are designed to be informal, open, and an educational conference where growers, processors, retailers, suppliers, and consultants can frankly discuss issues that impact this thriving industry. Don't miss CannaCon coming to the Colorado Convention Center June 11th through Saturday the 13th. Tickets are on sale now at CannaCon.org.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belleville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, June 8th, 2015. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie vowed Sunday to eliminate legalized marijuana in states like Colorado and Washington if he's elected president. The Republican governor, speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, said his administration would use federal rules that outlaw marijuana to clamp down on states that legalized recreational pot use. "Yes, sir," Christie told host John Dickerson when asked whether he'd go after Colorado and Washington. "If you were president, would you return the federal prosecutions in the states of Colorado and Washington?" Dickerson asked. "Yes," Christie said. "So if somebody's enjoying that now in their state, if you're president, that's getting turned off?" Dickerson continued. "Correct," Christie responded. Christie has been an outspoken critic of legalized marijuana. He says it's a gateway drug, including, quote, "I think there's probably a lot of people in Colorado who are not too thrilled with what's going on there right now," end quote, according to Governor Christie. A circuit judge has ruled that Missouri's so-called right to farm amendment doesn't allow farming pot. Attorney Dan Veets filed a motion to dismiss felony charges against a couple who grew marijuana to treat glaucoma based on their rights under the right to farm amendment to the Missouri Constitution, which won voter approval in August by a thin margin. The amendment states in part that the right of farmers and ranchers to engage in farming and ranching practices shall forever be guaranteed in this state, end quote. Veets argued the language is broad, but Circuit Judge James Journey wasn't swayed. Quote, "There is nothing in the right to farm amendment that would prohibit the state from enacting or enforcing laws regarding possession or production of controlled substances," end quote, Journey wrote in his June 2nd judgment, denying Veets' motion to dismiss. United for Care, which last year put a failed constitutional amendment proposal on the November election ballot, expects to begin its main petition push in a matter of weeks to get a new proposal to Florida voters in November of 2016. The organization, chaired by Orlando lawyer John Morgan, already has a few volunteers pushing petitions. It has resources from the failed 2014 campaign, including thousands of now experienced, impassioned volunteers, ballot language that has already passed legal muster, and Morgan's checkbook. Quote, "We'll make an announcement at some point here shortly," said Ben Pallara, the campaign's manager. "I'm going back and forth with Morgan, but I would expect that to launch sometime in June," end quote. That would put the organization about 6 months ahead of pace for last year's initiative. That proposal to legalize marijuana for medical use ended up getting 58% of the statewide vote last November, but needed 60% to be adopted. Governor Bobby Jindal signed a bill on Friday that lets employers in Louisiana drug test employees' hair. The window for detection with hair testing is about 90 days, compared to about 2 or 3 days with urine tests. House Bill 379, which has now been signed into law, opens up the option for companies to test hair by putting in place the necessary framework to legally drug test hair samples by requiring the College of American Pathologists to provide accreditation for the diagnostic facilities allowed to perform the testing. Representative Ted Lieu's amendment to a fiscal 2016 appropriations bill would cut funding for the Drug Enforcement Agency's salaries and expenses account from $18 million to $9 million. The account is used to fund the DEA's program to eradicate and suppress cannabis. Next year, Lieu will introduce legislation to eliminate the entire program, he said in a news release, noting that the DEA arrested 6,130 people in 2014 for growing marijuana plants. The number of companies looking to cash in on marijuana is growing, including some with celebrity backers, like Melissa Etheridge. When she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2004, she said marijuana saved her life. She became an unlikely spokesperson for marijuana legalization, and now she's an even more unlikely entrepreneur. Etheridge helped create a marijuana-infused wine. Etheridge said the cannabis in her wine is not dangerous in moderation. Because it is cold-pressed, never heated, it doesn't have a psychoactive effect. Etheridge's wine is currently only available to medical marijuana patients in California, where pot is legal for medicinal purposes. But she has a vision for her business growth. She would like the product to be available in restaurants and the general public. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, June 8th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in the San Francisco Chronicle this weekend was the headline, Marijuana Fact-Finding Tour, The New Political Field Trip. And I had a couple of people on Facebook point this out to me as well. And this was the Lieutenant Governor of California, Gavin Newsom. He was formerly the mayor of San Francisco, taking a tour of Humboldt County. And the piece opens by explaining he's standing on a hill looking over Humboldt County as a second-generation cannabis farmer pointed to the valley below. "There's one," he said, gesturing at a clearing in the trees. "And there, and over there. They're all over." It was Gavin Newsom and Representative Jared Huffman, who's from San Rafael, one of the state legislators, on the middle of what they called a cannabis fact-finding tour. And the state's Emerald Triangle, of course, produces about 60% of the marijuana that's consumed domestically. And, of course, he and another assemblyman, Jim Wood, went to a 450 plant farm, but never got to learn the address of the farm or the grower's full name. But there are now estimated to be 50,000 cannabis farmers in California, and this is the latest sign that they're becoming a political force as California grapples with how to legalize marijuana in 2016. And there are groups involved, including California Cannabis Voice Humboldt, which is one of the Northern California groups that are all aligned, trying to make sure their voices are heard as legalization is formed and the regulations are considered for the California market. Keep in mind that California is the world's fifth largest economy, not just like in the nation. I mean, worldwide, it generates a gross domestic product greater than most every nation on earth. So when it legalizes cannabis and how it does so is going to have a huge impact on how the rest of the world ends up legalizing cannabis. And of course, one of the fears among the growers in this region, a region that is almost completely supported by marijuana cultivation and the associated industries that go with that, the feed, the seed, all that kind of stuff that has to go into any sort of farming operation, are worried about getting written out of this and worried that licensing might have an impact and allow mega farm corporations to get involved, or even the big tobacco companies to get involved and to create what they call the two-buck chuck of marijuana, create a low-quality, very cheap marijuana that would eat into their profits, and also licensing practices that would be prohibitive to those who are the smaller growers. They want to ensure that small craft growers can be included in legalization. And having the lieutenant governor go and listen to their concerns and appear in Humboldt County and get some education as to what's really going on is one of the best things, the best portents that I've seen so far, that we're going to include the small grower, keep the family farms involved. He was up in Garberville, up in Northern California there, telling a crowd of 200 that corporate interests would rewrite states' rules and they will try to write you out. We cannot let that happen, end quote. That's your lieutenant governor saying we cannot let the corporate interests write out the small growers. The audience gave him a standing ovation. Now, of course, keep in mind that Northern California, the Humboldt, Trinity, Mendocino area, were three among 47 of the 67 counties in California that voted against Prop 19 in 2010, the first of the major legalization proposals to get mainstream coverage. And part of their concern was that it didn't take their voice into consideration, that once unleashed marijuana legalization, prices would crash and drive down their standard of living and their ability to feed their families. So now, as we approach 6 years after Prop 19, it appears that their concerns will be greater, will have a greater impact in the writing of new legislation. According to the farmers, and this is according to the Growers Association's head, his name is Hezekiah Allen. He's a third-generation cannabis farmer. He's the executive director of the Emerald Growers Association and says at least the following four legislative priorities have to happen with cannabis legalization in California. Number one, it has to be regulated through the Department of Food and Agriculture. Have to treat it like an agricultural crop. It shouldn't be under the purview of law enforcement or any sort of liquor control. It ought to be regulated through food and agriculture. And the reason being, this will have it more openly and legitimately studied by scientists, academics, and researchers if we're treating it as what it is. It's an agricultural crop. The number two consideration is a business licensing program to ensure smaller growers can continue to compete in a legal market. And I think everybody that is fighting for legalization in California right now and generally across the country is concerned about making sure that as we legalize, we don't criminalize what we're trying to legalize. And what I mean by that is we've always had people that have made a living growing and selling small amounts of marijuana. Let's find a way to bring them into the legal economy rather than having license fees so high that we price them back into being black market. Number three, increased environmental regulations that would benefit farmers who are not illegally tapping into water supplies, important during California's drought right now. They're 4 years into it. And an appellation system similar to the wine industry, where like if you market Humboldt marijuana, it has to be from Humboldt, you know, protecting the brand of the region.
Sorry, I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
You know, it's never a bad week to quit sniffing glue. And joining us in studio, Jenny Ray has made it back. How you doing, Jenny?
I'm great. How are you on Monday?
It's Monday, but it's a beautiful sunny Monday, and I have a new garden out back. I'll have to show you later.
I'm so into the gardens. Fresh food.
Jenny's brought a friend. We'll talk to her in a second after I get the mic hooked up. But when we come back, we've got drug war data mining. We give Chris Christie some facts to deal with because you know me, I look shit up.
Yes.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Get.buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
All right, welcome back. As you were listening earlier in the show, in our headlines, we covered New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who on Face the Nation said that he would undo marijuana legalization in Colorado and Washington. He'd send the federal prosecutors, he'd send the DEA, he'd bust it all up. And one of the quotes that I wanted to highlight in this is where he said, quote, "I think there's probably a lot of people in Colorado who are not too thrilled with what's going on there right now," end quote. Well, there probably are some people who aren't thrilled about Colorado legalization, you know, some of the drug rehabs and private prisons and the cops who are missing all their overtime pay probably aren't too happy about it. But I thought it would be interesting to look some shit up on this because, you know, they do polls. They ask people what they think about legalization. As we look back to the election, of course, that's the ultimate poll. They supported marijuana legalization with 55% in the state of Colorado. Now, after that had been legalized in November of 2012, you had a year, 2013, where there was legalization, but no stores, right? There was just, well, actually, they had some stores pretty early in Colorado compared to Washington State. So in April of 2014, CNN went and asked people, what do you think about legalization? Well, 52% said it was a good move. Now that's down from the 55% that supported it in the election. So, oh no, was there buyer's remorse, as Kevin Sabet would call it? Well, Quinnipiac University, who has a little bit more experience doing polls than CNN does, just a few days later, April 28th, they came out with a poll that said voters overall have a positive view of the Colorado marijuana experiment, support legalizing marijuana 54%. Okay, still close to that 55% of the election, within the margin of error, probably. Then Quinnipiac did another poll a few months later, July of 2014, and found after 6 months of legal marijuana, it's still at 54%. So 6 months into it, the opinion really hadn't budged much. There's still about the same electoral support for Colorado marijuana legalization. And this is within Colorado, right? Did I mention that? This is polling Coloradoans. Now, in September of 2014, a new NBC News Marist poll shows that 55% of adult Colorado residents back the law that legalized regulated use. 55% back up to where it was at the election. Then we move into 2015. Now, stores have been open for a while. Some tax money's coming in. The sky hasn't fallen. The roads aren't filled with stone drivers creating mayhem. And they get a poll again from Quinnipiac University that says with noticeable gender and age gaps, voters support the legalized recreational marijuana 58% to 38%. So that's an increase of 3 percentage points from the election. And where Chris Christie is wrong on the Colorado voters having any buyer's remorse about legalization, he's also wrong from his own political calculus. If he is angling to become the Republican nominee for the office of president, he is out of touch with even his Republican friends, the people he would want support from. According to a December 2014 poll released by the Washington, D.C. think tank Third Way, 60% of respondents said that state officials ought to possess the authority to control and decide whether to legalize marijuana. Only 34% said that the feds ought to be in charge of enforcing marijuana laws. Similarly, a supermajority of voters, 67%, 2 out of 3 voters, said Congress should pass a bill giving states that have legalized marijuana a safe haven from federal marijuana laws, so long as they have a strong regulatory system. So if you get to the general election and you're the anti-marijuana candidate, you're the one who says he's going to shut down Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, you're fighting an electorate where 2 out of 3 of them think you shouldn't be able to do that. All right, you're just sinking your own ship here. And when we look at this, these polls, do you think the laws regarding whether or not marijuana is legal should be decided by the feds or by the states? This is CBS News polling this over 3 successive years, 2013, 2014, 2015. And the majority goes from 54% to 62% to 58%. But in every case, it's a majority that says the states should be deciding how we legalize marijuana, or prohibit it for that matter, but it should be a state's issue. As we go to the Pew Research Center now, thinking of Governor Christie's chances in the Republican primaries, where he's supposedly going to face a more conservative electorate. Perhaps his electoral calculus is, by being the anti-pot guy, I can gain all those social conservatives. The problem is there are fewer and fewer of those social conservatives within the Republican Party. According to the Pew Research Center, this is from February of 2015, 63% of Republican millennials favor marijuana legalization. Now, millennials, those are people born from 1981 to 1996, your youngest generation. 63%. We're, again, almost in 2 out of 3 territory. And this is among the Republicans. The young Republicans support marijuana legalization, just as they also support same-sex marriage rights. It's 58% in that case. So there's actually more support for legal pot among young Republicans than there is for same-sex marriage. And these numbers continue to grow and grow and grow. And as the Republican base continues to decline, Chris Christie is just throwing a monkey wrench into his own political aspirations, which from my point of view is not exactly a bad thing.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for our regular weekly dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who joins us from SUNY Albany. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
A little wet.
Oh, yeah? Is it getting a little rainy out there?
Sad but true. Sounds like it's better out there.
Oh, my goodness. It's sunny and in the 90s, and I have two guests in the studio. We have Jenny Ray.
Hi, Dr. Mitch.
Great to hear you.
And we have Jordan.
Hello.
Hey, Jordan.
So good to meet you.
I'm surrounded by beautiful young women. My job is the best ever.
Talking about cannabis.
At that. But we always start things off here with our good doctor by letting him give us the first word in the latest in cannabis science. So what's up, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, a little bit of concern about childhood marijuana exposure. Just little kids eating edibles, essentially. Some UBC researchers got some money to investigate medical marijuana and AIDS. And then we got some rehashes about teens and their developing brains, and that, in fact, marijuana is markedly safer to smoke than that nasty tobacco.
All right. Well, this one, I saw this in the news as well. This was National Journal has it, says 147% increase in childhood marijuana exposure, and even worse in the marijuana-friendly states. It's up 609% in a five-year span, 2000 or seven-year span, 2006 to 2013. Oh no, Dr. Mitch, what's going on here?
Well, I don't want to make light of this because this shouldn't happen at all. No little kids should be eating cannabis edibles. That's how it really shouldn't be. But these numbers, the reason they give a percentage like this is to make it sound like it's a bigger alarm than it really is. Basically, we've got 30 per million in some of the, you know, medical cannabis states and some of the legalization states. That's still less likely than getting Delta straight flush. So I'm not going to, you know, try to get too alarmed about this, but we have to be more careful with our edibles. Most of these kids who are having this happen are under the age of 3. Hey, when I was under age 3 and I found a brownie, I'd have eaten it too. So we just got to make sure we keep our edibles in a safe place.
How much of these increases are due to the fact that the cannabis may be more accessible, that people may be more careless with it, thinking, oh, I don't have to hide it now from the cops? And then how much of this could be attributable to people are now willing to report when their kid gets into something, whereas before they might have just waited it out and avoided the cops?
I think that there's something to be said for that. These were, you know, emergency room visit type things. I want to emphasize, too, I think people who don't have kids don't realize once they start walking, man, they will find the most dangerous thing in the room. Like, it is astounding how quickly they can get to sharp objects and psychoactive medications. So, you know, just I think we got to move to that model like they have in Colorado, where everything that leaves that the dispensary is in a locked bag. We need to keep it in a locked bag in our houses too. And I think that things will go a lot better.
You know, I am one of the pot guys out there. People know me for that. And even in my house, when we're not consuming, before we leave the house, we put everything in a cabinet. We put everything in a drawer, you know. So if we bring a guest over, they're not immediately shocked by the sight of cannabis or whatever, or maybe they've got kids. I've got friends with kids and I want them to be able to come over and not think that there's anything weird going on or that they have to hide from their kids. So I guess I hide it from their kids is what I'm trying to say. And maybe more people should do that.
That's a great strategy. In fact, Sheila Murphy has a new paper out basically saying that the people who are most considerate long-term cannabis users, they are always kind of keeping an eye out for making sure anybody who comes over is going to be comfortable. We still have plain view rules in pretty much every state, so if you're in a place where cannabis is illegal, too, it's really a good habit to keep it out of eyeshot.
Yeah, all right. So I also wanted to make mention, you know, in the headlines today, we covered the Missouri Right to Farm Amendment, and Dan Vietz was the attorney who we mentioned in this, but we should also let folks know he's part with Missouri Normal and part of the Normal Legal Committee and the Normal Board of Directors. And Dr. Mitch, maybe you can speak to, you know, the work that these Normal Legal Committee members do, because I think, you know, so there's a conspiracy theory among some in the culture that, oh, they're just trying to make more regulations so that they have more court cases or whatever. Talk about the Normal Legal Committee a second.
Well, in fact, no, these are all folks who work sometimes pro bono to help anybody who's having a cannabis related legal problem. So I love, first of all, they shell out money to be on the Normal website, and I could not be more grateful for their support. And then literally every single one of them is an expert in either criminal law or business law and helping folks out in those domains. And tons of what they do goes unnoticed, in part because we want to respect confidentiality. It's not fair for anybody who gets a bust, who comes to us, to suddenly be in the news if they don't want to. And so I really, my hat is off to these guys. And to tell the truth, having had only one constitutional law class, I can tell you I sure couldn't do that job.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what they do. And we just saw some of the best of them at the Normal Aspen Legal Seminar. If you want to hear from some of the best, go to my SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/radicalrust. Look for that Normal Aspen Legal Seminar and just fill your brain, man. It's good stuff. All right. There's a story about a UBC, University of British Columbia researcher, getting $1 million to study medical marijuana for people with AIDS. And I thought an interesting twist on this was that it seems to be private donations or corporate donations from medical marijuana that are funding this.
And it's amazing up in Canada that this is not a bigger ordeal. I think trying to do this in the States would be outrageous. The other thing that's novel is they're really emphasizing the fact that there's essentially lower viral load in those HIV patients who are using cannabis daily. And we do have some, you know, lab work that suggests that cannabis actually does have a chance at working against the HIV virus. I don't want to imply that this is in any way something to, you know, inhibit people from practicing safer sex. But this notion that cannabis actually may be battling the HIV virus is not an approach that has flown here in the United States. Now, it could be that they're better with their meds if they're on cannabis, or they find their meds more tolerable, so they're more likely to stick to them. But the fact that we're even gathering those data with that question in mind, I think, is a real step forward.
Well, you know, I think Brownie Mary and Dennis Perone were onto this, what, 30 years ago, and now we're getting money to actually study it. That's great news.
And actually, as things like this go, that's relatively fast.
Yeah, no kidding, unfortunately. All right, we had a question from our chat room. Speed limit, it's just a two-word question, so I'm going to expand it a bit. You're often a proponent for vaporization over combustion, vaporizers over smoking. So he was just wondering, what's your favorite vaporizer?
Well, I may have a conflict of interest because the Firefly folks gave me a free Firefly to use in the last big vaporizer study we did. So I really love them. And, you know, everybody has sort of their own favorite, and that has to be one of mine right now.
How about if someone's looking for a product, how might they evaluate, you know, the differences of one to the other for their, you know, best benefit?
It's stunning because there are YouTube videos on literally every single one you've ever heard of and a bunch you've probably never heard of, and I think that that's a big plus. I think the Firefly's advantage is there's a switch on the side where you can actually hold it in as long as you want. So if you do want a thicker sort of vapor, you can get it. It doesn't quite get to the standard smoke range, but, you know, it's there if you want it. And I think the key is everybody's got their own takes. As far as stealth is concerned, a lot of folks are big fans of the PAX because it's just so dinky. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it really depends on sort of what you're looking for. I'm obviously not a guy who is really smoking in places where I need to hide. So everybody's got their own priorities.
Yeah, I just saw a clothing manufacturer who makes a hoodie now where the zip, you know, the little strings for the hoodie are vaporizer tubes. So, yeah, it's... It's getting like, you know, Get Smart level of technology here. All right. There's a couple of stories that were out that are really just rehashes of stuff we've talked before about, but I liked this one in LA Weekly because the talk about Dr. Donald Tashkin and his pioneering work with marijuana and its effects or lack thereof on the lungs. And to me, this is like this is almost a silver bullet in a debate. Whenever someone brings up the marijuana causes lung cancer, it has 400 more carcinogens than tobacco or whatever. Give our listeners just the thumbnail on that, what Dr. Tashkin taught us about marijuana and lung function.
So I want to emphasize that Donald Tashkin is not some old hippie. Like, this guy is a standard, pretty right-wing conservative UCLA med school professor emeritus. And he has 30 years of data now, 3 decades of folks literally coming into the lab and blowing into all the machines to check every aspect of lung function. Subsets of them get, you know, the scope run down their lungs. And he has really looked hard, and there's just nothing to find there. And what we're learning, Bob Malamede has a great article about this, is basically THC helps it so that if a cell becomes carcinogenic, it actually ends up killing itself. Whereas in the presence of nicotine, that will actually be much more likely to form a tumor. And when you get down to it, we're just not seeing the cannabis-induced cases of lung cancer. And unfortunately, tobacco still cranks it out.
The other pulmonary disease, of course, COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. What were some of the findings there?
So what's funny about this is there's actually, when you go all the way back to Shenang in 2800 BC, the cannabis was prescribed for asthma, and there is a slight increase in lung function in cannabis users, and it's unclear if it's just that bad habit of holding the hits too long or what it is, but it's always just statistically non-significant, but still seems to be there every single time, where they definitely actually have increases in the amount of total air they can blow out and the most that they can blow out in 1 second, that FEV1 they call it. And so, in fact, we're not seeing any of the COPD we'd expect from smoking anything, and perhaps it is a THC-induced improvement.
I think it's no coincidence that some of the great legendary jazz trumpeters were big fans of marijuana. I think, I have this theory, you know, it's like guys that are jazz trumpeters or saxophone players or NBA basketball players, these people that are very in tune with their bodies functioning at its highest levels, I think they would feel or notice a decrease if they were using cannabis and would stop using it. I mean, their paycheck is on the line. Is there any research into those kind of qualities?
Unfortunately, there's the confound with the Gillespie pouches.
No, big dizzy Gillespie. Yeah, look like a bullfrog. That's right. All right. Well, folks, we're running out of time here with Dr. Mitch, but if you want to get your question answered privately and personally, you can by sending an email to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch joins us every Monday here for our Cannabis Q&A. You can always call back or listen again on another Monday. Dr. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
See you. Catch you then.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have time for a radical rant. We're going to go to the great state of Kansas, where a mom...
Kansas.
What's that?
I said, oh, Kansas. Let's talk about you.
We're going to talk a little bit about Kansas coming up in the radical rant. Wait. And in hour two, they obviously can't wait. We've got Jenny Ray and Jordan.
So much to say.
Who are going to be road tripping to Kansas?
Oh, wait, that's a secret.
All right, we'll tell that later. All right, stay tuned. Radical Rant is next.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belleville Show and 420 Radio.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everybody. And did you know that as of, well, as soon as Bobby Jindal signs the law, that as of now, there are just 9 states that are absolute marijuana prohibition states. Just 9. In the other 41 U.S. states, there either exists marijuana legalization, obviously, Oregon, Alaska, Colorado, Washington, or some form of medical marijuana, whether it's a medical marijuana garden state like out in the West, or the medical marijuana dispensary states you get in the Northeast, and or even the medical CBD states that we have down in the South. Or, absent any of that, there's at least 2 other states that have marijuana decriminalization. So at least for minor amounts of possession, you're just going to get a ticket. But there are 9 states still remaining where there's nothing. All marijuana possession is an arrestable, jailable offense. And unfortunately for Shauna Banda, Kansas is one of those 9 states. Now, Shauna Banda has been using cannabis oil to treat a severe case of Crohn's disease. She lives in Garden City, Kansas, which is just 55 miles west on US Highway 50 from Dodge City, Kansas, which is the place referenced by the popular saying, "Get the hell out of Dodge." And another 70 miles west on US 50 is the Colorado border. And this story took a great deal of significance to me because a good friend of mine goes by the name Cannabis Cure UK online, but his real name is Greg DeHote, and he's an activist in Britain. And I met him when he traveled to the United States. Basically, he wanted to do a survey of the medical cannabis states out west, Colorado, California, Oregon, and Washington. He toured about. I got to meet him in Denver, meet him again in Oregon on his way through, worked at some of the dispensaries, worked at some of the grows. And it was just remarkable to me because when he showed up, he was this weak, pale, gaunt, greasy, sickly kid, right? I say kid, he's 24 when he came over, young guy, right? And then that was when I saw him in Denver when he first got there, right? And then after a couple of months of being able to use medical cannabis here in America, by the time I saw him in Oregon, he'd gained like 20, 25 pounds. Color had returned to his face. He was cheerful. He was energetic. I mean, I had known nothing about Crohn's disease up to that point, but getting to see the amazing difference it made in his life really convinced me. It was one of those moments that convinced me as to the truth of medical cannabis. So to hear Shauna Banda, who's a divorced mom with raising an 11-year-old kid, is able to get such relief from cannabis to me was just remarkable. I believe she's been on the show either as a guest or we've played some recordings of her at some other activist events. I think we've got one in rotation right now. And she's been a noteworthy activist. She's written a book called Live Free or Die, Reclaim Your Life, Reclaim Your Country. She talks about how she'd been almost virtually bedridden, having to walk with a cane, just being in severe detriment to her health. And then she discovers cannabis. She starts using cannabis oils and she's able to walk again. She's able to interact with her son, to be a fully present parent, to be able to go back to work and be a functioning member, contributing member of society. She's been very active on social media, maintains a Facebook presence, and is involved with a few groups that are involved with medical cannabis. So it's not like she's been hiding anything. She's been very prominent and very active. She was also honest with her 11-year-old son about her use of cannabis as a medical treatment. One day last March, while being lectured with inaccuracies and scares about marijuana in a DARE class in school, her son spoke up about the medical use of cannabis that saved his mom's life. So, of course, the cops took him out of the class and subjected him to interrogation without his mother present to determine that, quote, his mother and other adults in his home were avid drug users and that there was a lot of drug use occurring at the home, end quote. That's from the official police report. Drug use, avid drug users, lots of drug use at the home. The immediate framing of Shona Banda as being some kind of wild, drug-crazed party house, intentionally obscuring the fact that she's a very sick woman, and the only drug involved here was cannabis being used for medical purposes. Well, Shona came home on March 24th to find four cops and two social workers at her home. Two cops and the two social workers on her porch, two other cops in the backyard, traipsing about her backyard. She immediately started recording the incident on her cell phone, and you can actually hear it on her Facebook page, Shona Banda, S-H-O-N-A, Shona Banda, B-A-N-D-A. She recorded on her cell phone, and she asked why the cops were on her porch and in her backyard. The cops said, well, we have a right to be anywhere the public can be. And Shona replied, the public does not have a right to be in my backyard. But they eventually got their warrant. She refused consent to any searches. Good girl. Good, good, good. Refused consent to any searches, but cops went and got a warrant because basically what had happened is her son in the DARE class was telling the truth about cannabis, was saying, oh, we don't call it marijuana. We call it cannabis. And for his honesty, the reward for his honesty in school, telling the truth about a subject in school, got the search warrant for his mom's house, where, of course, they found her medical cannabis, her oil, and paraphernalia. Well, today, the Finney County Attorney's Office in Kansas charged Shona Banda with distribution or possession with intent to distribute a controlled substance within 1,000 feet of school property. By the way, those 1,000 feet of school things usually double whatever the sentence might be, the punishment might be. Unlawful manufacture of a controlled substance, tetrahydrocannabinol, possession of drug paraphernalia, and endangering a child. Endangering a child because she was using cannabis medically to treat her Crohn's disease enough so that she could actually parent her child. She could face 11 and a half to 17 years in prison if convicted on all counts. And of course, suffering Crohn's disease without cannabis oil for that long will probably kill her. So any sort of lengthy prison sentence she gets would be, in essence, a death sentence, or at least a lot of suffering, a lot of cruel and unusual suffering that's supposedly banned by our Eighth Amendment. But can the Finney County attorney actually seat a jury that would convict her? Now, this is one case where her being public about her medical marijuana use could definitely help her case. For one, her name is a very unique spelling. So if someone Googles her name, it's going to be very easy to find her Facebook page, going to be very easy to find the story and the recordings of the cops traipsing all over her yard and going after this woman who's a medical cannabis patient. Any sort of cursory review of her history is going to show that this is medical cannabis use. She's been using it medically. She wrote a damn book on it, okay? And according to an April poll from Fort Hays State University in Kansas, 68% of Kansans support the medical use of marijuana. Again, 2 out of 3 people in Kansas support the medical use of marijuana. You got to find a jury amongst all those people. If she can afford to take this to a jury trial, I like her odds. There is no evidence that she ever distributed marijuana. That's trumped up. That's the prosecutors, you know, basing it, oh, well, you had so much Therefore, you had to be a dealer because nobody would use that much, not realizing that these medical cannabis patients, especially when they're extracting THC in cannabis oil, need pounds to get grams, right? They need a whole lot of raw material to get what they need as their medicine. Just as you think of a bottle of aspirin is a whole lot smaller than the willow trees and the bark that it came from, same kind of idea going on here with the medical cannabis oil. The manufacturing charge that they're throwing against her has to do with the making of the oil. That's a manufacturer kind of charge. A statute that's usually used for meth labs, right? Going after a dangerous meth lab, right? And then her son, endangering a child. The only danger the child faced from there being cannabis in the home was the chance a cop would break down the door and shoot him on accident. There's no danger from the pot itself. There's no danger from her mom's medical use of it herself. Now, in order to take this fight, and she vows she'll take this fight to the Supreme Court of the United States if it's necessary, she'll need money for lawyers. And you can help her by contributing to her GoFundMe account. Again, if you Google Shona Banda GoFundMe, I'm sure you'll find it. She's trying to raise $40,000 right now. She'll need anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 the longer this drags out. And keep in mind, we are talking about Kansas. We're talking about a very conservative state where Eric Voth, the international drug warrior, we've talked about him on this show before, he's out of Topeka, Kansas. He truly believes that the 68% of Kansans who support medical marijuana have, quote, been heavily manipulated into approving these measures. Heavily manipulated, right? See, we only support medical marijuana because we were heavily manipulated by these images of parents whose kids stop having seizures and cancer patients who can eat and AIDS patients who are living. We were just emotionally manipulated by our own two eyes seeing that cannabis works as medicine. How unfair is that? My goodness, we should have waited for the FDA to say something. He also says that marijuana has serious toxic and long-term effects and causes domestic and spousal violence. Yeah. Yeah. I think you got that. Yes. Thank you, folks. Thanks. Yeah. I think you got that mixed up with alcohol. The toxic long-term effects that causes domestic and spousal violence. It certainly is not marijuana. Now, sometimes when you tell a story like this, some people will say, well, why the hell didn't Shona Banda just get the hell out of Dodge? Right? We've heard I've told you about the Undergreen Railroad, all the families and people I know who move out of prohibition states to Colorado, Oregon, and other medical states so that they can use their cannabis legally. But not everybody wants to move from their homes, their families, their neighborhoods, and they shouldn't have to. And other folks may want to move, but are tied down to a career, a custody arrangement with an ex, or other responsibilities. Look, we wouldn't ask a black family why don't they move out of some racist county. We wouldn't ask a gay couple to leave their homophobic neighborhood. We don't ask young women why they don't choose a college campus that's a little less rapey. Instead, we expect free people to live wherever the hell they choose and society to ensure their safety and well-being. So why should we expect sick people to have to uproot and migrate where they can be safe and well? No citizen of the United States should have to sacrifice their liberty for their health. Robert Randall settled this issue at the Supreme Court back in 1976 when he sued for the affirmative defense to use marijuana to treat his glaucoma that was going to make him go blind. Regardless of where anybody stands on recreational marijuana legalization, it is long past time at the federal level to recognize that marijuana, cannabis, is medicine, and people have a right to use it under their constitutional rights of equal protection across all 50 states. A sick person shouldn't be constrained to living in one of 23 states and visiting one of six that'll recognize his card. A person who is sick shouldn't be excluded from our national parks and our federal lands because the federal government disagrees with their state government's interpretation of what is herbal medicine. It's time for this to be an issue of equality, fairness, civil rights in this country. This should fall under the Americans with Disability Act, if you ask me. We figured out that people with handicaps, people with disabilities, should be included in our society, and our society should make accommodations for them. Whether it's extra parking spots or bigger restrooms or ramps on the sidewalks, why not let people use a non-toxic healing herb that hasn't killed anyone in 7,000 years of use? That's all the time we got for today, but stay tuned. We got guests in the studio. Jenny Ray and Jordan are up next. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalruss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you